Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning 510 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And, you know, I never really know what to make of Trump. I'll just be honest. A lot of times I never know what to make of him. It's election day today. We got Jimmy Patronis versus Gay Valamont. Of course, we got Randy Fine running in District 6. That's Michael Wall's vacated seat. And, you know, of course, Trump has had his hand in this election heavily. You know, the ads are all, it's basically Trump versus the Democrat alternative, Trump's guy, Jimmy Patronis, and that, which is fine. But I never know what to make of him, because sometimes he does things that, and I've, you know, this is no news to those of you who are new to the show, been here for a while. For those of you who are new, I'm just kind of giving you a sense of where I'm. Sometimes he does things that are amazing. Sometimes he does things that are idiotic. And sometimes he does amazing things, but he talks about them idiotically. And sometimes he does stuff that I think, oh, that's really innovative. Like, I never would have thought of that. You know, like the Greenland thing is a good example of this. You know, I've said this many times. I think it's a very interesting idea. I think the military force is absolutely impeachable. And he should stop talking about that. Well, same thing. This just came across the wires. It's one of those, like, I think I like it. It's really weird and interesting, but President Trump has taken it into his own hands to solve the daylight saving time problem. You know, for years, like, we've hated the fact that we have to switch back and forth. And also, there's been a movement here in Florida to go to permanent daylight time, right? And our problem was we got that bill signed in Florida, which is how it has to work. And then when it went to Congress, and we got both senators involved, and they're both on board. But now, and we've never had a House side representative. Nobody would ever carry it on the House. So we're stuck going back and forth. Well, Trump has now solved the whole problem. After years of hearing people grumble about daylight saving time versus standard time and efforts by states like ours to opt for year-round daylight time, President Trump has solved the problem by just, it's going to sound crazy, eliminating time zones. In a post on Truth Social late last night, Trump explained how much he always hated the whole spring forward, fall back thing, calling it nonsense, and he's eager to find a way to avoid changing clocks. And he said that putting the entire country on a single time standard would do this. And now he's calling on other world leaders to follow his example. He's also, and this is, again, like, I'm trying to wrap my brain around this morning. He's also eliminated AM, PM. So instead, we're going to go on military time, which is already common in a lot of countries, in case you don't know. In Europe, they do military time. So, like, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon is 1300, just like the military does. Which is simpler. It's just a little weird to get used to. He also said that these improvements will not only avoid the confusion over time zones. You ever travel and have to figure out, is it a plus or minus? You ever call somebody and you call them thinking it's 11 their time because they're 2 hours away, and it's actually 7 their time because you did it the wrong direction? You know what I mean? This will avoid that confusion. It'll streamline timekeeping in space, on the moon, on Mars, because all time zones are just going to be the same time zone. Here's what he wrote. I'm not going to do the voice. I'm terrible at Trump voice, but I'm just trying to get used to this morning. 437-1620 if you have thoughts. My friends, your great and yes, a lot of this is capitalized. Your great and brilliant president has solved the problem of the clocks. We have many issues in this country that divide us, but nothing is as stupid as switching time forward in the spring and back in the fall. Only a demented Democrat would come up with something so idiotic. He's always going to do it like that. I don't know why. Why has it got to be partisan? Anyway, when daylight time started, steam engines were the fastest way to travel, but now we have bullet trains and jet planes and SpaceX rockets and even beautiful Teslas like the one I just bought. So fast. Trump always writes so weird. Anyway, since I promised to be a great uniter as president, I am bringing the country together with one great idea. Beginning today, I am issuing an executive order to eliminate time zones and daylight saving time. Instead, there will be only one time zone for our great country, and the best part is we're calling it John?
America.
American Standard Time.
Oh, boy. I knew it.
American Standard Time. As of this morning, the entire country is hereby instructed to adjust all clocks to match the time in my two beautiful homes, the White House and Mar-a-Lago. Stop it. Because they're both Eastern Time. This means the time in Chicago, Denver, Los Angeles, Anchorage, and Honolulu. Oh, all of U.S. All right. The same as in Washington, D.C. and Palm Beach. Also, no more of this AM, PM crap. We can do time like the military does. 0900 for 9 a.m. and 2100 for 9 p.m. You'll learn to love it. I'm also hereby calling on other world leaders to follow my example, adopting American Standard Time everywhere, so we can eliminate all the foolishness of calculating what time is and when we can travel or call. My great friend Elon Musk also loves this idea because it means the moon and Mars can all be on the same time as America the Beautiful. You're welcome. Early responses to this dramatic change have been mixed. Secretary of Transportation Sean Duffy says he loves the idea. He told Fox News just this morning, quote, I think people will appreciate not having to add or subtract hours anymore when they are traveling. I know I always get mixed up when I'm making a call to someone on the West Coast, and now I'll never have that problem again. I've been flying since I was a kid, and with my parents getting divorced, and like, you know, we lived in Detroit, and then we moved to Chicago, Central Time, out of Eastern Time, and then my dad moved to Denver, and I was flying from Chicago to Detroit and then from Chicago to Denver and back. So, like, for me, I've been doing time zones my whole life, both in calls and in travel. It's not hard for me, but I know a lot of people struggle with this. And, God, every time I book an interview that's not, like, a local interview, okay, Central Time, though, right? You know, like, or I sometimes just do it their way, Eastern Time, because that's what most people think of. You know, like, if I'm booking with somebody from D.C. or whatever. Let's see, Secretary of Transportation Sean Duffy, yeah. Others have said...
Cough.
I can't believe this. It's got to be the pollen. That's all I can think. It can't be it's got to be the pollen that continues to get me. I've never had problems with allergies my entire life until we moved here. Anyway, and we've lived everywhere. Others have said that people won't like it. Former Labor Secretary Julie Hsu, that's under Biden, thinks people have a hard time thinking of normal working hours in San Francisco being 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. or 600 to 1400, because that's how that'll work, right? 9 to 5 on the East Coast is going to be 6 to 2 on the West Coast. Or 7 to 3 or 8 to 4 in Central Time, you know, we'll all just have to adjust what we think of as normal. As she told MSNBC, I don't think Europeans are going to love sending their kids to school in the morning at 1500. It's just too weird in the morning at 1500, like 3 p.m. Because that'll be just after sunrise, 3 p.m., what we would think of. It's just too weird, and I definitely don't think the rest of the planet's going to accept American Standard Time just because Trump says so. Maybe if he had called it Earth Standard Time. Oh, I like that. Earth Standard Time. And synced it up with Greenwich Mean Time, maybe, and, you know, which kind of would have thought to be the default, but you know Trump's not going to do it that way, right? It's obviously going to be American Standard Time, and it's going to be Mar-a-Lago time. Even Governor DeSantis now says he loves the idea. Quote, I'm a baseball player at heart, and now I never have to ask whether the first pitch is Eastern, Central, or whatever. Just tell me the time, and I know when to tune in, which is true. Because the time in San Francisco, when they're playing, you know, I don't know who is the Rays, maybe, is his team. If they go and play, you know, well, I guess L.A. would be a better example, the Angels, American League. You know, if they're playing at 7 p.m. or 1900 in L.A., it's 1900 in Tallahassee, too. So you don't even have to question what time it is. You have to do the math anymore. Sources in the clock-making industry and the Watch Setters Union tell News Radio they intend to file a grievance with the National Labor Relations Board to stop this move because they're worried airports and newsrooms won't need to buy as many clocks now. You know how they have the big array of clocks at the time in Tokyo, whatever. Well, it's just one clock now. Of course, it will have to be a new clock with 24-hour time instead of the, you know. But they did acknowledge that they're probably better off just finding other jobs instead, since it seems impossible to ever beat Trump at anything. What do you think? 437-1620? Weird idea. John, do you think, first of all, do you think the rest of the world will go along?
No.
With the idea?
No, they won't.
I think they might.
Really? What gives you that idea?
Okay, look at it this way. You know, what do people always say? He's the most divisive president ever, right?
Right.
He's uniting everybody around one time. Right? I mean...
So the sunrise would be at 15...
I'm trying to think of Germany or something. It might be at 1500, and here it would be at like 600.
I have a hard enough time with the time zones now.
Well, that's the point.
I know.
But that's the point, is we'd be ditching the time zones. You wouldn't have to figure out what time it is. It's always one time everywhere. You wouldn't have to, well, do I add an hour when I'm traveling east to Tallahassee? What do I do? Do I, just, you know, you just wouldn't have to think about it. And we wouldn't switch in the spring and the fall. It would just be the time it is all the time.
You know, I have a watch and a phone that do that automatically for me.
Yeah, but that's the point. You wouldn't have to. You ever call a relative who lives out of the area?
Oh, my son in Phoenix.
Yeah, okay. So he's in
2 hours behind us.
In the winter.
It's only 1 hour.
That's right. It's weird.
They don't,
because they don't do daylight time. We move and they don't. And so Arizona, which is weird, just like the western half, I think it is, of Indiana is the same way. They don't do daylight. So they don't even move. So right now, this is like we've been using chopsticks, and somebody gave us a fork. And we're like, I just can't figure out this fork, you know? But I do hate using the chopsticks. That's what it's like. We have a terrible system now, but you're used to it. You know, like inches and pounds and ounces and all of the British system, which is stupid and crazy. The metric makes more sense, but we're used to it, so we're used to being hazed, and we're just have adjusted to it, right? Metric is simpler. Now, we're not switching to metric. I don't think he'll ever switch to metric. But he has canceled time zones, and he has canceled daylight time, and we're now on military time. So, 0521 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's tax season. By now, we're all a bit tired of numbers, but here's one you need to hear. $16.5 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud last year. Now, here's a good number, 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed. Save up to 40% in your first year with promo code CLAY. Visit LifeLock.com. That's LifeLock.com, promo code CLAY. Terms apply.
Bands on the Beach is back. Grab a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music each and every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. This week, it's Pensacola Beach favorite Christy D and Bad Juju. So grab a blanket or a lawn chair, but don't bring any pets or glass, and get to Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion, thanks to the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Hey, let's talkie-talkie. Hey, let's talkie-talkie. More ping-pong.
Good morning. 5:23 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Oh, people are texting me at 437-1620, reacting to the news that President Trump has now eliminated time zones. He's converted the whole country to American Standard Time, which in the process gets rid of daylight time, so we won't be switching forward or switching back. And it's going to be military time, which really makes sense. So somebody texted me in, Andrew, this isn't really anything interesting. It's what the engineers and the military already do. They call it Zulu time. Interesting point. I hadn't been thinking about that. So there's already, I mean, I know the military with the, you know, what they do, but I hadn't been thinking about how they do Zulu time. So interesting. Still confusing. Is it day or night in Paris at 1600? In Paris, it would be day. It'd be early. It'd be almost, I think I'd have to do the math a little bit on it, but I think that'd be Eastern plus six, I think, is London. No, I'm going to get this wrong. It'd be day. It would be day. I just have to think about kind of what part of the day it would be at that point. Let's see. Somebody says, where's the line of demarcation? At 05-22, 06-22, where will we start? He says just now. It's just implemented. You know, like many things Trump does, it's just he signed the Sharpie and it's over. So we're there. And it's just basically everybody needs to put their clocks on Eastern time as soon as you can. Now, obviously, it's going to be a little bit confusing for things like school start times and work times and church times and stuff, for a couple of days as people adjust. So I don't want to speak on behalf of, like, the school district. This is so new, nobody's really had a chance to get all the details. My best bet would be just kind of go with the time that it is, like, yesterday, and then find out from your boss what they want you to do. I wouldn't want to have you showing up to work an hour early, you know, which is what would happen because you set your clock forward by an hour, and I would hate to have you go to work earlier, drop the kids off at the bus stop an hour early because, you know, you got it wrong. It'll be a little bit confusing for a day or two, okay? David Wayne is in the news. If you have questions, text me 437-1620. I have a pretty good comprehension of these things. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. Welcome back, David. Good to have you back. How was your trip?
Thank you very much. It was good. I'm glad to be back. Nearly $9 billion worth of Harvard University contracts are under review by the feds over the school's handling of anti-Semitism. The Departments of Education, Health and Human Services, and the U.S. General Services Administration are all conducting that review. Education Secretary Linda McMahon said the school didn't protect students from anti-Semitic discrimination and promoted divisive ideologies. President Trump says the U.S. can expect to see $5 trillion in investments after his tariffs are enacted. Wednesday, new reciprocal tariffs are set to be imposed on Canada, Mexico, China, and the European Union. And if you do a lot of flying on the smaller regional jets, United Airlines is going to be offering Starlink internet on their regional flights here by the end of the year. The airline announced on Monday that they have gotten FAA approval. The first commercial flight of Starlink-equipped aircraft is planned for May, and they expect to have over 300 planes equipped with Starlink internet by the end of the year.
Wow. I wonder if people are going to be out protesting. What is it, American? Is that what you said?
United.
United. Going to be out protesting United because, you know, if they're going to protest Tesla, they're going to protest X, and they're going to, I mean, I don't know how you protest the Boring Company exactly, but, you know, they're angry at Elon. So now United is partnering with Elon's internet company, and, you know, will they be strapping themselves to the exterior of planes, the landing gear and stuff to stop United to cause their shares to crash or whatever?
Well, I didn't see anybody yesterday strapped to the rocket.
No. Okay.
Okay. So.
Well, but that's just because they're not really committed yet.
Okay. Well, you know, if they try to set up a protest roadblock on the runway, the good news is the plane can just go right over the top.
We're not advocating killing the protesters. We're just saying what's sort of physically possible, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, I just want to
see. Scientifically.
Scientifically possible. That's great. 527 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, in what is surely the, to me anyway, one of the funniest stories of the day, only because it's such a Florida Tallahassee Mexican soap opera story. So, you know, last week Danny Burgess, Speaker of the House, says what? We're going to cut the state sales tax from 6% to 5.25%. Everybody's going to pay less in sales tax. It's about a $5 billion change, right? And even with that, we're still going to budget, you know, we're going to spend less money than we spent last year, okay? And in addition to this. And I was like, yeah, cool, cut the sales tax. Yay. Okay. The governor yesterday does his press conference in which he says, that's so stupid. Nobody cares about sales tax. Nobody cares about sales tax. Plus, people who are from foreign countries will also get the benefit. And visitors to Florida will also get the benefit. What we should do instead is we should do something that's going to help the people who live here. I'm going to give people a property tax rebate.
The House of Representatives leadership produced a proposal to dedicate $5 billion to tax relief. Now, they proposed to reduce the state sales tax by 0.75 cents. And, you know, the issue with that is people, one, are not clamoring for sales tax relief. They're clamoring for property tax relief. So there's no property tax relief in that proposal. But it also allows relief for foreigners. It allows relief for visitors and part-time residents. I think the tax relief needs to be focused on Floridians. We need a Florida first tax package.
So he says we got about 5 million homesteads in Florida. I'm just going to cut everybody about $1,000 check. Now, apparently, it's not going to be just a flat $1,000. There's going to be some kind of formula. It wasn't made clear to me from the press conference exactly what. But he says you're going to basically Florida homeowners are going to get a $1,000 bump, not rental, not business property, but homeowners only. And you know that's which a thousand times 5 million is again $5 billion. So it's the same chunk of money, but the governor wants to give it back his way. Now, I'll be frank. I would rather have $1,000 in a check than 0.75% off sales tax, but that's because I'm not a big consumer. I'm going to get a better bonus if they – and it's not going to be a reduction in property tax. It's going to be a rebate. Like, the state's going to send you a check. So, interesting. I just think it's such a great soap opera story because the House wants credit for their tax cut, and the governor wants to be seen as benevolent for his tax cut, and he says, well, they can do theirs if they want to, as long as they do mine first, basically. So, show me yours, I'll show you mine. Everybody's going to get a tax cut. It's like Oprah's running the government.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. There's a special election today for two House seats in Florida.
Florida's first congressional district was once held by Matt Gaetz, who resigned amidst an ethics investigation when nominated to be attorney general for President Trump. Florida's 6th congressional district was held by Michael Waltz, now serving as the president's national security advisor.
Fox's Evan Brown. There's also an election today for a state Supreme Court seat in Wisconsin. A current Florida Republican says House Speaker Mike Johnson is being held hostage by a few members of a group that she's leaving.
Ana Paulina Luna is resigning from the House Freedom Caucus, she says, because a select few are operating outside its guidelines, brokering backroom deals, and disparaging her in the press. Luna has faced opposition from inside the caucus over a proposal to change House rules and allow proxy voting for new mothers and fathers.
Fox's Jared Halpern. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got cloudy skies. It is 64 degrees this morning in Pensacola. Neighbors are reacting to the arrest of an Escambia County man on dogfighting allegations last week.
I thought it could have just been abuse or something, or just leaving the dog outside because there's cars weren't there often, only mostly at night. So maybe I wasn't sure if the dog was just left out all the time. But then occasionally I'd hear more than one howl.
That neighbor talked to Channel 3 and wanted to remain anonymous. The Escambia County SWAT team was at a home on Seamarge Lane in Lakewood Road last Friday. Deputies say they arrested 32-year-old Journey Purifoy on animal cruelty charges. 6 dogs were taken from that home. Investigators say rundown crates, multiple leashes and collars, and a book on training pit bulls for fighting were found in the property. Purifoy has been released now on $15,000 bond, but he is due back in court on April 17th. Senator Rick Scott says he has an idea to protect American citrus producers. Scott introduced a bill yesterday banning citrus imports from China. He says the United States Citrus Protection Act would protect American jobs, ensure the integrity of domestic agriculture, and reduce our reliance on goods produced by regimes that pose a threat to the U.S. Well, a man's dead after an argument with a store employee, which turned violent in Tampa. Police there say the employee shot a man last night at a store. He was taken to a hospital where he passed away. There's no word on what the argument was about. Tampa police say the employee has been cooperating with investigators. So far, they have not made an arrest.
3, 2, 1, ignition. And liftoff.
4 civilians are now on their way to becoming the first to fly over Earth's polar regions. They blasted off into space Monday in a SpaceX rocket from the Kennedy Space Center. The mission is historic because it is the first crewed flight over the North and South Poles. The crew includes a Chinese-born Bitcoin entrepreneur, a Norwegian cinematographer, a German robotics expert, and an Australian adventurer. The mission, called Fram 2, is scheduled to last just over 3.5 days. And speaking of space, one of the astronauts that was stuck in space for 9 months after the Boeing Starliner failure says he doesn't believe that he and his fellow astronaut were stranded or forgotten at the space station.
We were nowhere near any of that at all. So stuck, okay? We didn't get to come home the way we planned. So in one definition, we're stuck. But in the big scheme of things, we weren't stuck.
Butch Wilmore did an interview with Fox. He and Suni Williams spent 9 months on the space station when the Starliner was brought home empty due to helium leak issues. They returned last month on a SpaceX capsule. The pair were initially supposed to be at the space station for only a short test flight. Wilmore told Fox News he wants to move ahead and not point fingers about what happened. And it is 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
Drying out for your Tuesday. This morning, temperatures start out in the lower 60s with mostly cloudy skies. Seeing some areas of patchy fog through about 8 o'clock, but once the sunshine comes out, that will fizzle that on out of here, allowing temperatures to climb into those middle and upper 70s as we go into the afternoon with a mixture of sun and clouds. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your WEAR First Warning Weather Update.
Thank you very much, Marion. 64 degrees right now in Pensacola, 64 in Gulf Breeze. We've got 62 in Milton. Our next news is at 6 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were lower this morning as investors braced themselves for President Trump's tariff policy rollout. The yield on the 10-year Treasury lost 5 basis points to 4.194%. OpenAI has announced it has closed its $40 billion funding round, the most ever raised by a private tech company. The deal values OpenAI at $300 billion, including the new capital. The round includes $30 billion from SoftBank and $10 billion from a syndicate of investors. Electric utility owner First Energy Corporation said it has laid off about 350 of its employees across the country as part of a corporate-wide restructuring. Jennifer Young, communications manager for First Energy, said the company eliminated roles while other positions were expanded to ensure the company can operate efficiently. Futures are mixed. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 417, the NASDAQ down 23, the S&P 500 up 30. Once again, futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Join Keith and Pam, your insurance experts with Verus Health Partners, today at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn how to save money on your healthcare costs and find the right insurance products that best fit the needs for you and your family as you head towards retirement. Or if you're looking for options now, they'll be taking your calls and questions. Today at 10 with Verus Health Partners on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable. Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 5:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a good chance to talk to Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa County Sheriff. Bob, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. How are you, Andrew?
I'm good, good. I was the most entertaining player at a softball game over the weekend, so I'll take it. I got the
I don't know if that's good or bad.
I got the MEP, not the MVP, so it was actually good, but, you know, it was a lot of fun. First question is, how did the storms affect your deputies, the county? Did you have to make any rescues yesterday, as we're, of course, looking at another big storm today, but what happened yesterday and over the weekend?
Yeah, no rescues or anything, and what's really amazing is we didn't have that many wrecks. We had a few car crashes, but not like normal. Normally when a storm hits, there's still people out there, you know, and they usually end up in a ditch or something like that. And it was actually pretty quiet. And my deputies are, you know, basically what we do is we disperse them throughout the county and have them stay stationary as much as possible. Obviously, we respond to what we have to respond to, but it's not a normal just drive around and, you know, look kind of thing during the peak of the storm. So we did pretty good.
Wow, well, take that. And it, I mean, I know there's a lot of rain all over the area. I mean, Dillard's had their, you know, bottom floor flooded, like down the steps flooded. I could not believe that video. I saw it myself in some, you know, several different places. But, you know, from your perspective, from law enforcement perspective, not really. I mean, it didn't turn out to be that big of a deal in that sense.
No, we had some flooding, you know, some roads and stuff up north end, but nothing too major.
Okay, good. But how's prep going for today? I mean, you know, we're at it again today in about 3 hours, right?
Yep, it's coming. Supposedly the peak of it's supposed to get here, I think, around noon.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we'll see. We're going to be a 4, and then it was kind of nothing for our area. This one looks a little bit, I'm watching the radar, and I'm like, you know, we're going to see some of this for sure. Any notable arrests or incidents take place in the last week or over the weekend?
No, not anything too major. It's pretty much a status quo over here in Santa Rosa County, which is kind of the way we like it.
We'll take it. I mean, I love not much news. I did see one story, Channel 3 had a story, and this is the kind of thing, like, I know it's a big news story. I still hate to talk about it because it's not – basically, you had a guy, I guess, who was arrested for – they went to his home on a, you know, looking for child pornography. And what they found was pictures with people and animals, I'll just say it very delicately that way. And I guess he got arrested and charged. So, I mean, what? What?
Yeah. Well, you know, every time you think you've seen it all, somebody comes up and breaks a record. So it can be pretty disgusting what some people look at on the internet. And it was a NCMEC report, you know, so we get a lot of those in reference to child porn, and we investigate every single one of them. We make a lot of arrests, unfortunately, but there's a lot of people out there that delve even deeper than child porn and get into animals and some other disgusting stuff.
And by the way, that's the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, the NCMEC you mentioned, that's for people who don't know. And I think maybe it is one of these, like, maybe people didn't even know, and I hate to have to inform people, but I think most everybody knows that actually engaging in an activity like that is illegal, but it is also illegal to possess pictures of that, right?
Correct, yes. And a lot of people, this is something, Andrew, people don't understand. So when they go on a pornography site and they just watch a video, they don't download anything. They just watch it and then get off the website. That phone or that computer saves that video, whether you want to or not. It's on your computer now or phone. And if it's child porn or bestiality or anything like that, you can be charged with that. You can actually be charged. You don't think you downloaded it. You just watched it or you just looked at the picture and you're thinking, okay, I'm done. No, the phone saves it. So until it's overwritten by another program or whatever, but so it's pretty dangerous to be looking at these sites.
Even looking at them as what in the buffer or the temp file or something like that, it would sort of for sure. Because in order to play on your phone, it's got to be on your phone in some way, right? So
correct. And we have a forensic unit. That's all they do is download phones. We have 4 guys. That's their whole job is to download phones. And sometimes on an iPhone or you know, a computer, you have a huge hard drive, and it takes days to download all the images. And then they go through every image, and most images with child porn are tagged child porn through NCMEC. So sometimes they don't have to do research, and other times they find these disgusting photos with kids in them, and they're not a NCMEC identified image. So they have to research and do their due diligence to make sure it's a child and not, you know, an 18-year-old. And that's all they do, and they stay busy, unfortunately.
We're talking to Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, hang on for just a second. I've got a couple of questions about some bills working in Tallahassee, which during session, the law enforcement-related bills, I'm always interested in what my law enforcement officials think about these. Again, these are topics I really hate to even have to discuss at all on the radio, but we had this really crazy case that showed a loophole in the law regarding artificially generated child or, you know, pornography of under 18 here in Pensacola last year. And now there's a law to basically prohibit that. I'm assuming that you're on board with that law. Is that true?
Yeah, definitely. You're talking about the generated stuff,
yes.
Computer generated,
yes.
Where it's not really a child, but it's an image of a child once it gets done constructing it.
Yeah, and it's taken, like, you take a real person's photo and you turn it into pornography, right, without their consent, right.
Right. Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, it's getting bad that it's bad enough there are images out there like that to begin with. That's sad. But then you have some idiot that's going to sit there and create images. It's disgusting. And I'd love to be able to find the people creating them and put them in jail on the same charges. I mean, because when it basically comes down to it, if it's an AI created image, how do you know the difference?
Right. Right. They're very high quality. And as we always say, today they're the worst quality they'll ever be. They're always getting better, which is scary. The other one that's kind of been in the news the last day or so, I know Channel 3's been running a lot of reports about this, is what they're calling the super speeder law. And the proposal here is that anybody who speeds more than 50 miles over the speed limit or who exceeds 100 miles an hour on any road could be liable to, I think it's 90 days in jail maximum and a $500 fine. Second offense could be, I think it's a 6 months in jail and a $5,000 fine. Your thoughts about the super excessive speeding and, you know, the need for harsher regulation? No, we just lost you for a second. Sorry, try again, sir.
Oh, yeah, I said I think it's awesome. If you're that stupid that fast, you deserve to get prison time or jail time or at least, you know, a hefty fine. There's no excuse for stuff like that. How do you justify, hey, I was doing 145, but, you know, I was in a hurry. It doesn't really make sense. So, yeah, I'm all for that. I think it'd be an awesome law.
Very good. Anything coming up that you want to promote to us? Any events or activities? I know the sheriff's office is always involved in doing stuff. Anything coming up we should know about?
We've got the Star Foundation. That's our 501c3. We've got the rodeo coming up in a couple of months. It comes up in May. We had it last year in June, but it was way too hot, so we moved it to May. So I'm hoping that we had it last time in August, I'm sorry, and this time we're going to have it in May, so hopefully it'll be a lot cooler, and hopefully we can raise some money for charity.
Outstanding. Well, I know when we get a little bit closer, we'll talk about some of the details for that, but good thing to have on the agenda for the future, on your calendar for the future. Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson, as always, sir, thank you for keeping us informed, keeping us safe, and I'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Andrew.
Absolutely. 547 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
The Sanger Theater opened her doors on April 2nd, 1925. For 100 years, she's been the heart of Pensacola entertainment with vaudeville, movies, Broadway, and music. This month, Friends of the Sanger and the City of Pensacola are saying happy birthday to the Sanger, and we invite you to help us celebrate. Learn more about these events at PensacolaSanger.com/100. And happy birthday, Sanger.
Looking for the perfect kitchen, bath, or flooring? At Home Outlet, we don't just promise the guaranteed lowest price, we back it up.
Yeah, but how low are we talking?
We'll beat any competitor's price by 10%.
That's wow, but okay, what makes your store better?
Funny you should ask. We're 100% employee owned. Everyone here has a stake in making your home projects affordable and stress-free.
So I'm getting expert advice, unbeatable prices, and I'm supporting employees who actually care?
Exactly. Why shop anywhere else? Home Outlet, kitchens, baths, floors, and more at the guaranteed lowest price. Visit us at homeoutlet.com today.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing the Atlas Beverage Class, celebrating Easter at Great Southern, Fish House, Beer Fest tickets, and Jackson's Spring Menu Rollout tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Man looks in the abyss. There's nothing staring back at him. And
that moment, a man finds his character. And that is what keeps him out of the abyss.
Even if you've never heard the song, you instantly know Mick Jones' voice. You instantly know, oh, that's the Clash. All right. That is one of my all-time favorite movie quotes that we don't play very often, but from Wall Street. When the stoic senior advisor in the investment firm is talking to Charlie Sheen, you know, right before he's getting ready to get arrested, and he said, you know, hey, a man looks in the abyss and there's nothing staring back at him. That's when he finds the character. That's what keeps him out of the abyss. I mean, like, it's, I mean, I don't know. I love that quote. 550 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, federal agencies are looking over $9 billion worth of contracts with Harvard University over the school's handling of anti-Semitism. The Departments of Education, Health and Human Services, and the U.S. General Services Administration are conducting that review, which was announced yesterday. Some of the details of Gene Hackman's death apparently are not going to be released to the public. A judge in New Mexico blocked certain court records that show the bodies of Hackman and his wife. At the request of the couple's estate, officials say that they died inside that home in February. And NASA astronaut Butch Wilmore says he doesn't want to blame anybody for the situation that left him and fellow astronaut Suni Williams stuck in space for 9 months. He talked to Fox News.
I don't want to point fingers. I hope nobody wants to point fingers. We don't want to look back and say, shame, shame, shame. We want to look forward and say, let's rectify what we've learned and let's make the future even more productive and better.
Yeah, of course.
I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about that from a... Sometimes when a bad thing happens to you or an inconvenient thing happens to you, or at least to me anyway, I sometimes think, well, I mean, better me than somebody that it's really a problem for.
Right.
You know, like, I don't ride a lot on planes, but a lot of times if I do get on a plane and I'm sitting next to a kid who's complaining, I mean, I have kids. I don't even hear it. It doesn't bother me in the least. And what I always think is, I know some people are super triggered by that and super intolerant and don't love kids. And so I think... better I get to endure it than they do. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Right.
And so I think that's their attitude is, in the end, nothing really went wrong, but this could have been a catastrophe, and let's learn from it so that we don't have a thing that really goes wrong again in the future. You know what I mean? So I love that attitude.
Absolutely.
Was that you?
That was it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was it. That was all I've got.
All right. 552 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John, have you been paying attention to the bat controversy?
Batman?
No.
What?
The controversy over the New York Yankees.
Oh, you mean like baseball bats?
Yes.
You said bats, and
yes.
I'm thinking Batman, but...
So, the controversy is that in their very first weekend, the Yankees' bats were on fire. Not like literally, but I mean, they were really hitting a lot. Was it 9 home runs in their first game?
I think it was like 8 and then 15 over the weekend.
Yeah, 15 over the weekend, I know. And, you know, Paul Goldschmidt, who the Cardinals traded away, I love Paul Goldschmidt, but he's not in. I mean, that's what the Yankees do a lot of times. They buy up these veterans who, you know, can perform but haven't been maybe, you know, and they just spend all their surplus cash. Anyway, because baseball doesn't have a salary cap. But all of these sort of mid, like, former great, now okay players were, like, dinging home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were using different bats. Have you seen this?
Yes,
okay.
I have.
All right,
I'm
looking at
the torpedo bats.
Yeah. I don't call them I call them the bowling pin bats. Because instead of being either gradually thickening towards the end or a constant level of thickness at the, you know, at the barrel of the bat, they get thicker toward the sweet spot and then thinner toward the end of the bat, and so they kind of look like a real skinny bowling pin. And under the regulations for Major League Baseball, that's legal. Like, the rules of baseball bats are surprisingly there's a lot of wiggle room, okay? It's a maximum diameter, the length, and all that kind of stuff. Some of this stuff is fixed. But basically, the theory behind this, and it makes perfect sense, is it puts most of the mass of the barrel at the sweet spot, which means that if you can at least hit the ball at the right place, you've brought the majority of the momentum to bear on the baseball at that point. So if you hit it right... It'll more likely go out. It'll go farther, go faster because you're applying more mass, more momentum to it at the sweet spot. Brilliant idea. And they hit, you know, 15 home runs over the weekend. So it's working pretty well. It's the tied for the one other team had ever done this before, 15 in a weekend, in opening weekend. Aaron Judge is not using the new bat. Aaron Judge, because he's like, I mean, I did okay last year.
Yeah, I just did okay.
And why mess with something that's working so well, which exactly. I understand.
But each bat is customized to where the swing is.
Oh.
So the sweet spot on, it's different on every bat.
Based on the dimensions of the bat or based on the batter?
Based on the batter.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
That doesn't make any sense because how they
wherever
hold the bat.
Wherever the sweet spot is for that particular batter, like they do analysis on everything.
Oh, like where that person is most likely to hit
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So okay. This guy from MIT came up with this idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they did the analysis and boom, every bat is custom made for that batter.
No, see, I was thinking that it would always be at a spot on the bat because the bat's mass has a certain, you know. But you're right. If each hitter, if longer arms, shorter arms, closer to the plate, farther from the plate,
exactly.
whatever.
Right.
Your preferred sweet spot is, and that's which makes sense under the old design that the sweet spot would be kind of distributed more along the bat. But if a batter has a sweet spot, put your mass there. Makes sense. Now, that does mean that if they get it off of the more toward the handler, more toward the end of the bat, it's going to be more likely a foul ball because you got less bat circumference there because you have less mass there. It's in the rules. I assume every other team is going to start making different bats and trying it at least, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we'll see. The only part of this I don't like because it's within the rules, so therefore creativity. You know, that's fine. You're allowed. The only thing I don't like is baseball is a game of tradition and numbers. It's a mathematical game like no other game out there, right? In fact, one of the things that I like about baseball as a game, as an educational game, is that kids learn how to do math, and they learn how to think about RBI and percentages and OPS and all the things that, you know, ERA and all of that. And if you don't know those phrases, I'm sorry. It's just these are baseball terms. And it wouldn't help me to say them out because you wouldn't know that either. I'm not trying to insult. I'm just, you know, anyway. It's a game of math and numbers and memorizing numbers and player stats and all this stuff. And the back of baseball cards always has all the player
stats,
which people study and get it. Anyway, every time you tinker with something in baseball, you run the risk of separating the numbers from the tradition of what those numbers mean. I mean, it's entirely possible that something like this could add 5, 10, 20 home runs in a year to a really good player's performance, in which case things like your 60 home run year, your 64 or 70 or 7, you know, like those things would become irrelevant because the technology would have changed, and then they'd have to probably restrict it because it's like heightening the mound or whatever. It's too much of a change. But so far, I mean, the idea is interesting, and it's smart, and it's within the rules.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so you can't fault them for trying to work within the rules to find an advantage. That's literally what every player in all of sports always does, is trying to work within the existing rules in order to find some slightly better way to do it so that your team can have an advantage. And when you come up with it and it works, and everybody else copies you, right? Eventually. So imitation is the greatest form of compliment, right? Flattery. 437-1620. Men Who Cook is coming up April 27th, Sunday at Sanders Beach, Kryn Jones. I'm glad we're having it back there. It didn't really work at Wahoo Stadium the way it has worked in the past. And I don't know why, because Wahoos is a great location for a lot of things like Eggfest. It just didn't really work that way. So they're back at Sanders Beach this year. I always cook in this, and it is a blast. It's one of my favorite events for the Pace Center for Girls, so it's helping at-risk female youth, which I love. Delicious creations from 30 local men, like me, as they compete for Top Chef and People's Choice Honors, and it's a great cause. Anyway, that comes up on April 27th.
What's on the menu for you?
Oh, I haven't decided yet. I'm actually still working on it. I'm always late to this party. Would it surprise you?
No.
My son and I usually cook, and I'm not sure if he's going to cook with me or not this year. He's still deciding. Because he's in college. It's a challenging semester. He's got a job that works weekends, so not sure he's going to cook with me this year. I would love to have him, but, you know, I'm not sure. Anyway, so we kind of usually come up with it about a week before.
Okay.
So I'm still thinking about it. I'm still mulling my options at the moment. Let's see. Speaking of announcements. Somebody's older. Somebody's got a birthday.
Who?
You.
Oh.
Happy birthday, John.
Thank you.
So this makes you 52?
One.
51. Okay, next year, 52.
Yeah.
51. All right, congratulations. Happy birthday, man. That's fantastic. And you get to celebrate your birthday by doing what radio people do, which is?
Work.
You get to work. Yeah, you get to get up early and do your normal.
But I'm spending my time with Andrew.
Is it? Oh, you're so sweet. Isn't that always kind of funny? Like, you know, that's a older generation. Younger generations are like, what do I get from work for my birthday? And older people are like, well, you get paid. That's what you get. You get a paycheck. You're listening.